Open your Bibles to Romans, the 8th chapter, Romans 8. We'll go be 28 through 31. 28 through 31. We're going to be talking a little bit, if you read this, and we know that all things cause, that we know that God causes all things to work together for good. And we've had quite a week. I mentioned this in our earlier service. We had our McDermott trip. We did have a flat tire just right out of town. But we didn't have another one. That was good. But we had to run back to Sparks. Pastor Dewitt went into the hospital with a potential heart attack. Denley's daughter got in a car accident. She's okay. She's here today. Gary Eben, surgery, emergency. Jeannie Heppner went into the hospital. Jennifer Haas. One of our members hit a gas line and evacuated the neighborhood. After I heard what it was, I went, he's had worse problems than that, I'm telling you. That was our own John Pedersen. And I think we need this scripture this week, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Amen? We've had quite the week. All these folks here are alive and well. They're doing good. I don't know about well, Miss Jeannie, but we're alive. All right? But I didn't plan this sermon around these events. I had planned this a long time ago. And so our title of our sermon today is called. And I'm going to ask you on several occasions, has God called you? Not has he called you generally, has he called you effectually? I was in a bus stop in Great Falls, Montana. Just got off the bus from Missoula, Montana. I was 17 years old. And the place was packed. When I heard over the intercom, this is back before cell phones and tweets and stuff, pages. And Mark Morton, please come to the front desk. You have a phone call. And I thought, that's me! Everybody, that's me! I almost want to say, hey, that's me. I just heard my name. I never heard my name over the intercom before. And no one cared. No one cared because it was to me. And I walked up there, and on the other line was my daddy. Hey, son, I'm running a little bit late. Just go out front there. But okay, thanks, Dad. And I thought, that was cool, though, by the way. You called me. They called me over the intercom. Yeah, that's what they do, Mark. I said, that's cool. But I heard my name over the intercom with the old bus station. And we had a little laugh about that. But that's an effectual call. That was for me personally. And so I want to talk about that today. Let's stand and read this great scripture. My daddy loves Romans 8. And in fact, he says, if you hold your Bible like this, Mark, and drop it on its edge, it better open to Romans 8. That's how much he likes Romans 8. And it is good. I tell you what, Romans 8, let's just play a little bit here. Let's look at verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Wow. What a way to start a piece of scripture. Let's look at the last verse. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Man, makes you want to read the whole in between, doesn't it? These are good stuff. Well, we're just going to have to hit on a little bit. 28 through 31. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And whom he predestined, these he also called. And whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? Lord, we come before you. We thank you for your powerful words. Lord, we thank you for your words that change our lives, that change my heart. And Lord, I ask for a miracle today, a miracle that I've seen over and over again, that you would call somebody. I'm not asking you to call just anybody. Lord, I'm asking you to call a lost person. Call him out of the world. He might even be a church member. She might even be a Sunday school teacher. I don't know. But Lord, I know you can call us, and I pray for your calling. You stay here. That you call us out. And Lord, I just pray for that today. May this scripture go into our hearts, and may the preaching of the word be effectual. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much. We read here, this is called the five golden links of salvation. If you can just think of a chain sitting here, five golden links. And this is an incredible thing. And to just go through salvation on just how saved you are is a valuable thing. I love this scripture for that. And the, you'll notice the top chain is foreknowledge. It says here that for whom he foreknew. Now, well, a lot of people have a lot of different ideas about this, but when we look this up in the Greek, it is a personal love. It's a foreknowledge of you personally. God knows you intimately and personally before the world was made. God didn't look down the corridors of time and saw Joe Johnson and said, Joe Johnson's going to choose me, so I'm going to choose him. That's not what it means. It means that God looked down the corridors of time and saw Joe Johnson and said, I love him. And I'm going to mark him. That's powerful. That's way beyond us. This is what we call a mystery of his grace. Not only that, the second link here is predestination. Now, you can look it up all you want. It means predetermined, foreordained. There, you can't twist it around. Predestined. Before anything happened, he set it in place. God the Father chose you and preordained you personally to salvation. Wow. Yes. Amen. He's got it all planned out. He's worked it out. This isn't the lottery where we just sit back on, we put in for deer tags all the time and we sit back. I hope I get it. Our family, six of us, got six deer tags this year. Anyway, we're excited. Most of us. Me, I'm probably the most excited. And four of them are like super good tags. Anyway, we got to go on. That's chance. That's chance. That's the lottery. You didn't hit the lottery. It wasn't a chance. God loves you. And he called you out. I remember that YouTube when my boy showed me this kid does a practical joke on his buddy, and then the college allows it. Some college back east, jam-packed college on a basketball game, that you had to get assigned seating, and they say, hey, if your seat comes up, you get to do a half-court basket for $1 million, blindfolded. And so he sets it up so his buddy gets the ticket. And they put up there, if your seat 23E, you just, he goes, that's me. He goes, cool, go down there. He goes down there and they go, hey, we got to take you around the back here. We got to sign some papers. So while he's around back, his buddy gets out on the floor and the microphone says, hey, everybody, my buddy's going to come out and he's going to shoot the basket blindfolded. I don't care if it goes in or not. Yell like it did. It's so funny. You got to watch this. He gets up there and he blindfolds him, and everybody's sitting there, and he tosses it. It hits some lady in the grandstands. And everybody goes, wow! And he pulls it off, and he starts doing laps, man. Wah! Like this. And it's hilarious. And everybody's yelling, laughing. Now they're really yelling, laughing because it's hilariously funny. And then you won $1 million, and out comes a check, and behind it's the guy. And he's going, wow. He comes out here, and his buddy's behind it, and he pulls the check to the side. He looks, and the guy just goes, ooh. He falls on the floor because he knows it's a joke. That's predestined. From the beginning. It didn't feel like it. In fact, for a while there, it was like, wow, this is great. I made the shot of a lifetime. But really, we're going to one day see the Lord and say, wow, it was all in the plan. Hey, the third link is the effectual call of God on your heart. It's a wonderful thing. It says here, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined, to whom come conform his ways. And then it says here, whom he predestined, he also called. He called. This calling, this Holy Spirit of God's timing, calls you in his good time. The Holy Spirit. And he calls you out of the world. We're going to talk a lot about that today. The fourth link is justification. Those whom he called, he justified. What that means is because of Christ's atonement, you are made right before God. You are blameless. Wow. I mean, you are a child of wrath, and the next day you are blameless before the Father because of Jesus Christ. He's called you, you accepted Christ, and you stand blameless before the Lord. You can go in and out of prayer, in and out of the holies of holies in the spiritual setting. It's a wonderful thing. And lastly, the last link is glorification. Hey, you might not know it, but you're on a road to glory. And I know it's rough at times and it's steep, but someday it's not going to matter. Because you are going to be conformed to his image, it says, set on a path, and glorification's near. Wow. That is our salvation. That is how we are saved. And God does it all. Indeed, salvation is of the Lord. From this scripture, what a salvation. And do you notice, as you read it clear, salvation is indeed of the Lord. Our sinful hearts are unaware of these until one of these links shows up. What I'm trying to say here is you have these five links. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I didn't know he foreknew me. I didn't know I was predestined. I don't know all the time I'm justified. I have to read it all the time and say, wow, that's so good to hear again that I stand good. I don't sometimes realize I'm on a road to glory. I have to remind myself quite often that I need to act like a Christian, like I'm on the way to glory. But the one link that we get to realize, the one link that we feel, is the effectual calling of the Lord. This is our sign that these things are true in our life. As Bunyan put it, the general call of God gives nothing. Man, I sit here and preach sometimes. Goes out, and a man over here is crying, and another man over here just wants to get out of here. What happened? One's a general call, the other one's effectual call. And by the way, you're without excuse. Both of them. Both of them. But he says his effectual call, he always gives something personally. Personally. Now, I know that there's a whole group of people out there that believes that everyone is effectually called. Now, if that's true, if that's the case, listen closely, brother, then all five links have to all be the same. That means everybody has been foreordained. That means everybody's been predestined. That means everybody's been called. That means everybody's been justified. That means everybody's glorified. That means hell's empty. And I can't find that in the Bible. That means that we don't have to do anything. We don't need to hear a call. It's set. In fact, a man just wrote a book. Everybody Wins. A pastor named Bell. He took hell out of everything. And everybody's going to have a chance to repent. God doesn't say that. God doesn't say everybody's foreknown. God doesn't say everybody's predestined. God does not say everybody's justified. There's so much scripture against that. In fact, the Bible says, wide is the way to destruction, and many go that way, but narrow is the way to life everlasting, and few are those that find it. And so if you are effectually called, you are a blessed person. It should bring us to our knees. And by the way, when we did be called, it was out of necessity. Not a mere choice of several options, but the only option. Salvation isn't like picking fruit. Oh, I like bananas. I don't like oranges. I'm going to choose what. No, it's the only thing in the basket. Do you remember the hound of heaven coming to you in Christ Jesus? Do you remember that constant calling and that chasing you through your sin to the point of a dead-end street? Don't you remember that? Now, it has to be the effectual call of God. God does not do this for everyone. Pastor Thompson was an outlaw. Up until he was 30 years old, he was a whiskey-running outlaw. He worked with the gang in Illinois. He was in Texas, but he had one problem. He had a praying mother. And if you have a praying mom, you're in big trouble. And that hound of heaven was on him, and he was heading to San Angelo on a road going about 90 miles an hour with a beer in his lap and thinking about the next beer he was going to get down in the next joint that he knew, and God got in the car with him and says, you know, you don't have to do what I say, but you don't have to live any longer either. That doesn't sound like a choice. He says, you know what? I didn't ask for the Lord to get in the car. I wasn't feeling great that day, but I hadn't cried till I was 10 years old. And that day I wept so much, my shirt was wet because I turned to Christ in repentance. That's the effectual call of God in our life. Now, that's how the Lord works. And there it happened. And grace chose you out of the world as you come willingly against your will. Like the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus. As he walked out the Damascus Road, if you go to Damascus Road, if you walk out, it's the north end. When you walk out, there's the place of the skull right there. He had to go back there, and I imagine he shook his fist at that place as he went to kill Christians. But in 2 days, God changed everything. Because as he entered Damascus, an incredible thing happened. He got knocked off his high horse. He wasn't planning on coming to Christ. He wasn't planning on serving the Lord the rest of his life and giving up everything. No, God effectually called him and changed his directions. It was a wonderful thing. I know this is a difficult mystery. I've studied it and studied it out of the scripture. But do you not believe that God loves his children? Let me solve the mystery for you a little bit. Do you believe God loves you? If you believe God loves you, and God says, I change not. If he changes not, then he has always loved you effectually. And he doesn't do it for everybody. I think he loves all the world. But according to John 17, he's come to save those which were lost, those that God had chosen. That's a difficult mystery. This might seem to be unfair. But I want you to be reminded of this. Nowhere does it say in the Bible that the sinner has to have a right to salvation. Nowhere. Nowhere does it say, God, you got to give me a chance. God, I deserve something. You have nothing like that in the Bible. By his mercy, he does this. And by the way, do you want fair? Do you really want to work on the fair thing? Or do you want mercy? Because fair, well, let's see about fair. And you and I have openly rebelled against a holy God. And there's only one thing that's fair. And that is for a holy and just God to punish us. That's what's fair. So let's not ask for fair. We've been delivered from Satan's lies. God has come into our life and delivered us and taken us by the hand and taken out of the lies of the devil into the kingdom of his holy Son. We have been snatched from the fire. We are so fortunate. I remember right over here on Bravo Street, right here in Stead. It was just before the sun went down, a little girl, about 4 or 5, playing in the playground. And a man came up to her and began to give her candy. And then he said, hey, I have some more in my car. Would you like some? And she said, yeah, I would love some. And he took her by the hand. Is this a good sign, kids? Okay, don't do this. And he walked, complete stranger. And he said sweet things to her and said so many lies to her and got her out to the street, right, the one that goes right to our old church, right there, you can see it. Got out there, opened the back door, says, get in, I'm going to take you to my house where there's more candy. Put her in there, and he was about to shut the door when the uncle of the girl pulled up and went, hey, that's my niece. And he steps out and says, sir, what's going on here? I know this girl. Her mom and dad live down the street. He goes, no, their mom and dad lives right here. Get away from us, my niece. And he reached in and grabbed her by the hand and pulled her out. And he says, I'm out of here. He hops in his car and takes off and he gets the license plate. He is a registered sex offender living off of Peppermint Drive. He's still in prison today. That was a good 15 years ago. When I saw that, when I came up to the scene and I heard that testimony, my heart went, my heart sank. You know what? I feel the same way about my own salvation. When I think about how close I came, I was believing the devil's lies. He was leading me on. He was telling me things, everything, and Jesus showed up. And he grabbed me and he pulled me out. And by the way, the devil has a will for you. And it's wicked, and he wants everything. He wants you to perish. He's that wicked. Oh, we have such a great salvation. I want to ask you, and I'll ask you again soon, are you called? Has God calling you even now? I'm not asking if you're a church member. I'm not asking if you come to church. I'm asking, has God called you to salvation? Is he calling you now? You say, well, how about my freedom of my will? Let me tell you something about your will. It ain't free. You have one, but it's not free. Have you noticed? Paul says, the one thing I want to do, I don't, and the thing I should do, I don't. It's a big struggle. And so we say freedom. Well, let me illustrate it this way. And it's a mystery, so every illustration's lacking. But let's just say we're in London, we're heading to New York, and you're on a cruiser. We're all on a cruiser. The whole world's on a cruiser. And I know people are dancing around, and they're doing stuff, and they're doing things they shouldn't do, and there's others having church and all this stuff, and everybody seems like they're having a good free time. But let me tell you, you're going to New York. And you're dancing around God's creation, and you're doing all the things you think you can do. But let me tell you, there's a captain in charge. And when we get to the other end, you're going to face him. And by the way, you can only go so far. You can go port side and starboard. I couldn't remember port this morning. All right? You can go to the front of the boat, the bow, and the stern. You can run all over this one. But there comes a point where God says, that's as far as you're going to go. You see, there's God's permissive will, and there's God's decreed will. His permissive will is when I went off sinning like I wanted to. He let it happen. He could have stopped me, but he didn't. Then he had his decreed will. There was a time when he said, no, Mark, you're not going any farther. I'm going to intersect your life. I'm going to effectually call you. And I indeed came willingly against my will. Philippians 2:13 says, it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. Did you read that? I know we say it so much, but listen to the words. It is God which worketh in you to what? Both to will and to do his good pleasure. Now, that's where God causes you in our fallen nature to come to Christ. Then, and then only, will a fallen man come to Christ because the Holy Spirit causes him or enables him to be willing to make a lifetime commitment to follow Christ. The Bible says that it is the work of the Holy Spirit to reprove, to reveal, and draw a person to Christ. I'm here to tell you, man cannot receive Christ unless God gives him the ability to do so. John 3:27, John the Baptist says it very plainly, a man can receive nothing except it be given from him from heaven. Now that's how special you are. God has called you that much. We say, well, what is this effectual calling of the Lord? What is it? Well, it's a gift of grace from the Holy Spirit. You've been given a great gift where he causes us to embrace Christ freely as he is offered to us in the gospel. It's twofold. I want you to tell you, it's two things. One is there's an outward calling. I'm doing it right now. I'm preaching the gospel. Come to Christ. He's died for you. You come. It's an outward calling. It's bird seed. I'm throwing it out, and I'm hoping it lands on some fertile ground. But I'm here to tell you right now that some of it's going to land on a path, a hard heart. It won't penetrate. I hope that's not you, but it could be. And it's going to hit there, and the devil's going to come down and take a line. He's going to snatch it out and says, this is goofy. This is foolishness, that preacher. Don't listen to him. There's some like that. Other seed's going to fall on thorns. And it's going to try to grow, but the cares of this world and wealth is going to choke it out. And people will say, it's too hard. It's too hard to be a Christian. I can't do that. I like my life too much. I have to give up some things. Other seed's going to fall on a rocky soil, you know, just a little bit of dirt over a bedrock. And it'll look good. A little rain, it'll spring up, but then a little persecution will come, and we'll realize it has no roots, and it will wither away in a day. Oh, have we experienced that? I've had the curse of baptism, where people get excited, and they, okay, I think the Lord, and it looks good. All we can have is a profession, brothers and sisters, and we baptize them, and it's the last time I see them. They got fixed or something. It's an outward call. The Bible says many are called, but few are chosen. Many are called, but few are chosen. We went around McDermott this last week. You know, we're going around McDermott praying, going door to door, asking people. I had one lady just go, I handed out a flyer for a revival. She went, no, 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 like it was poison. I said, I guess not. And she says, I'm not interested. Not interested. I said, wow, okay. God bless you. See you later. And other people, come on in here. Oh, old Indian woman, oh, pray for me. Pray for me. I put my hand on her shoulder. I said, oh, Lord, be with this dear, sweet girl, lady. And, oh, Jesus, she's putting her hand up. Oh, it's effectual. My heart breaks. For God has got a remnant in McDermott. And it's just a few little sprinklings like that. You know what we're doing? We're either cursing them or blessing them. For on the day of judgment, that woman who would not listen, God will say, I sent him to your house. He had a Bible for free that some church members gave us for free. I was going to hand to her if she didn't have one. I was going to present the gospel to her if she would have allowed me. But she would not. Because the outward calling goes to everybody. In fact, Romans 1 says, nature itself, you'll be held without excuse before the Lord. Not only is it outward, the one I want to talk about is the inward calling of God. This is the renewing of a heart. Not only does your ears hear the call, but your heart embraces it with a full trust in Christ's finished work on the cross. You see, the outward calling brings us to a profession of Christ. And let me tell you, I get a bunch of them. The inward calling brings us a possession of Christ. And that one, my friends, is what is needed to see heaven and Jesus' face. It is an inward because it is unseen and not heard except by the Spirit speaking to the heart of the sinner. The Apostle Paul, his conversion, the other men around them heard something, but they couldn't discern what it was, but Paul sure heard it. Because it wasn't to them, it was to Paul. And today, you might be sitting in a pew saying, man, he's jabbing me in the heart. I'm telling you, it's not me, it's the Holy Spirit. He's speaking to you to come to Christ. It's not for the guy next to you. It's for you to come to Christ. Well, what are the means of this effectual call? How do we get these things? There are two means of this effectual call. One is, believe it or not, what's going on right now, and you can do it. It says this in 1 Corinthians 1:21. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. You want to talk about man's responsibility? And I do. This is man's responsibility. When you come to Christ, to turn around and tell somebody about Jesus Christ. Those that don't, we call them hyper-Calvinist. We should just call them sinners. Well, if someone's going to get saved, if Hope Morton's going to get saved, then why should we call? He's going to save her anyway. Well, let me tell you, do you want to be a part of Hope Morton's salvation? I do. Do you want to be obedient? Someone preached to her and she got saved. Wouldn't that be nice to be you? Do you want to be a part of God's plan? Do you want to show that I love Christ and I'm going to tell others about him? Or have you really been effectually called? Because when you get effectually called, it becomes an affection for Christ. And you want to turn and tell somebody. That's man's responsibility. Not only that, the second thing is the power of the Holy Spirit. You need the power of the Holy Spirit. For I can go out and share all I want. In fact, I've tried it without the Holy Spirit and it falls flat. And generally I get in arguments with people. And it's real boring. And instead of just talking about Christ. It says, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon those who were listening to the message. This is Cornelius' home. The Holy Spirit fell. The Holy Spirit showed up while he was preaching. It fell on them, and they came to Christ, and they were baptized. If the Holy Spirit is not in it, the message will not get past their ears. That is the effectual call. What has God called us from? Now, this is, I'm going to close here in just a few minutes. But I want you to listen close because this will determine if you are called. Have you been called? Number one, you say, Pastor, how do I know if I've been called effectually? That's a great question. The first thing he'll call you from is your sin. Your sin. Ephesians 5:8 says, for you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. He's calling you to walk a different life. He's calling you. You should be convicted of your sin. This thing that is taken so lightly by men and women, God is first to call us from, and it's our sins. All those things that are not part of God's character in our life, most of which are self-centered and in rebellion to the Creator of the world. It is the first thing that the Holy Spirit is calling us from and convicting us of. If you can continue in your sinful way in opposition to God's word, then you should have no confidence that you are called of God. Did you hear that? If you can continue in your sin and your fornication and doing whatever you're going to do and your impurities and your vile ways and your secret sins and all that kind of stuff, if those have not been crucified and though you might feel bad about them and even now might be feeling convicted, I hope, if you're not going to give them up, don't think you've been effectually called, for you've not received it. You can't go on and live like you want. The Holy Spirit is calling you out of that. Number two, he's calling you from danger. He's calling you out of your sin because they're dragging you to hell. It's not so much what you do, it's who you are. The reason you're sinning is because you're a sinner. You have a nature problem. You're in a danger place. You could die today and go to hell. No one's promised you this afternoon. And so you're in danger. You're living a precarious life of Jonathan Edwards, his sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, his scriptures out of Deuteronomy, their foot shall surely slip. At some point, your foot's going to slip. You're going to slip into hell. God wants the very best for you, and he calls you to a life that is spiritually safe. He's not calling you a physically safe life. This world is dangerous. It's precarious. As we found out last week, it's quite interesting. Eternally secures his purpose of calling you from the danger of this present world. Just as the angels came down to get Lot out of Sodom, so the Holy Spirit comes down and asks you to leave this world behind. And Mrs. Lot, Jesus says, remember Lot's wife. You see, she looked back, not like I would look back, wow, I got to watch this thing get destroyed. She looked back like she wanted to go home. Oh, I want to go back home. Hey, it's being destroyed, sister. You want to go back and die? I want to go home. You're out of your mind. I want to go home. I love the world. I love the things of the world. It's going to be destroyed. It's by fire and brimstone. I want to go back. A person of no faith is what that is. Not effectually called. Wicked. Turned into a pillar of salt. What else did she think would happen, but judgment. And I'm here to tell you right now, for the bigger portion of our population, they are Lot's wives. This is going down. God is going to destroy it, and you must leave it. Which brings us to the third point. From out of the world, he's called. Not only calls you from your sin, but from the danger of this world, but from out of the world. Come out of the world, the love of the world, and forsaking the world. Christ called Matthew from the receipt of customs. His name was Levi. From his love of money and the world system. So Christ calls us to be a pilgrim in search of a holy city. John 17, 16, they are not of this world, even as I am not of this world. You should not be of this world. It should be really odd. You should be peculiar people. They're looking to heaven. They're not concerned about stuff we're concerned about. This drives me crazy. That's how people do. When they look at a Christian. 1 John 2, 15 through 17. Do not love the world nor the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the boastful pride of life, is not from the Father, but is of the world. The world is passing away. Did you hear this? And also its lust. But the one who does the will of God lives forever. Is God effectually calling you? Are you going to do his will? The term love of the world, it's not enjoying the beauty of God's handiwork. It's not enjoying a good fishing day. It's not looking at his creation and saying, wow, that's beautiful. It's not seeing a flower in your backyard grow. I love that. It's loving the systems of the world, the way of the world. It's loving that more than Christ. There's a system that goes on about greed and lust and pride. I get sick of it. There's no humility. I found it in my childhood at some of this age here. Kids when I was a kid back in the old days, 1972. My mom and dad made me go to church on Sunday night. Right as Tinkerbell was going over the castle on the TV, and Disneyland was coming on, And I'd say, oh, man, I don't want to go to church. I want to watch Disneyland. They said, get in the car, Mark. Get in the car. I want to do that. You see, I was a lost boy. I didn't have a love of Christ in my heart. I had a love of me in my heart. I want to do the world stuff. I wanted that stuff. I wanted that. I didn't want to go to church. See, there's hope for you. Oh, parents, stay faithful. For what would I have had? I couldn't remember what the show was. I don't know what it was. Swiss Family Robinson was awesome. But what would I have at the end of the day? Disney World stuff. This world instead of heaven's world. And my mom and dad made me get in the car and I went to church every Sunday night. Now what do I have? I've been blessed beyond my deserts for being such a wicked little child that wanted the world more than Christ. We all come that way. So what is it, my friends? What is God calling us from? He's calling us from these dangers and these sins in this world. But let me ask you this last thing. To what is he calling you to? He's calling you to a life of holiness. He's calling you to glory. In 1 Thessalonians 4:7, for God has not called you for the purpose of impurity, but for sanctification. This is not an option. Those that belong to God live a holy life. It doesn't mean we're it means we're separated from God. God, we're available. What's God want us to do now? What's God calling you to? Those that belong to God live a holy life separated from him. The calling of God is to live a life that glorifies God. And according to the scripture, it is your reasonable service. It's what's expected of you. And God will give you the power to overcome sin in this world. One of the greatest blessings when I came 21 and I came to Christ is the power over sin I never had before. For no temptation is overtaking you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, not allow you to be tempted beyond that you're able, but with the temptation, allow the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. My dear friends, do you want to be holy and separated for God? Not only that, he's calling you to glory so that you may walk in a manner worthy of God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. We are most blessed people that Christ has called us into glory. We are called to share in glory with Christ. In fact, it says Christ in you, the hope of glory. Let me ask you, have you had God's effectual, loving call? Because it says here, whom he predestined, them he called. It's a God-electing love. Election is the cause of our becoming a Christian. The scripture plays it out perfectly. It is not because some of are more worthy of heaven than others are. What worthiness do we have? How worthy are we? I mean, Mary Magdalene, 7 demons. The Corinthians, fornicators, adulterers, effeminate, homosexual, idolaters, drunkards, all of them had to cast that aside and come to Christ. They did. But such were some of you, but you were washed, it says. I mean, how worthy were they? Not. How about John Newton, slave trader, abusing people? And he came and he wrote the song we sang today, Amazing Grace. How about the woman at the well? She was so worthy of salvation. My goodness, no. How about on the island of Anawa with John G. Payton, Chief Naswa and his wife Katua, who ate people the year before they came to Christ, who were savages, cannibals, and came to the glorious gospel and spread the gospel through all the whole island. And when John G. Payton left, they said there wasn't a pagan left because of the power of Christ. They were elected. They weren't worthy of it, and neither are we. Before the effectual calling of God, we are without strength, the Bible says. For while we were still helpless at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. And not only were we helpless, we were enemies of God. You were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaging in evil deeds. That's us. And God called us out of it. And his calling is very powerful. Thomas Watson says, Christ rides forth conquering in the chariot of his gospel. I like that. He conquers the pride of the heart and makes the will of that and makes the will that was fortified yield and stoop to his amazing love and grace. He makes the stony heart bleed. Oh, it's a mighty call. I have another bus stop little experience. I was down here at Reno on the bus stop at Greyhound, picking up a friend in 1987. I'd come to Christ. God is working in my life. I mean, I'd go out in the desert, lay on the ground at night, just pray. I had a revival. I went down to the bus stop, and it was packed. I mean, packed. There was two seats available. I sit down in one, and about from here to the door across the bus station is two drunk guys. I mean, drunk, and being loud and talking like this and all that stuff. And everybody's looking at them like, man, you guys. And God speaks to my heart and says, see that guy? Go talk to him about me. I go, oh, Lord, pick somebody else. There's an old lady over here. She looks sweet. I'm here to tell you, I didn't hear a voice. It was stronger than that. He said, Mark, you speak to him about the Lord. I said, Lord, what I'm going to do, walk up to him. The man turned around, walked over, sat in the only seat available next to me, looked at me and said, what are you here for? It fell out of my mouth. I was astonished. I said, I'm here to talk to you about the Lord. He sobered up just like that. And I began to present the gospel to him about Jesus' love for him. And all over the intercom, bus so-and-so number is an hour and a half late. Bus, I was waiting, my friend. I said, his name was George. George, I'm going to go buy you something to eat. He looked homeless to me. And we went and we walked down 2nd Street to the old Comstock. You know, used to have a $5.99 steak, really good one. We went up to the second floor, and it was Friday night because I got him a bowl of clam chowder that was in a bread bowl. And I sat there, and I presented the gospel to him. I'll never forget him taking up his spoon, shaking with conviction as he ate the food. Finally, he stopped in the middle of his food, and he said, excuse me, I got to ask a question. Are you an angel? I said, boy, love is blind, my friend. Love is blind. I'm no angel. I'm a messenger from God to you. Without a doubt, I know this. We walked out of that place and stood in front of St. Thomas's. I said, you want to come to Christ? And he literally got on his knees. I can take you to the place today and ask Jesus to save him. The effectual call of God. Are you feeling it? If you are today, you're blessed. Are you going to respond to it? Are you going to resist the Holy Spirit? Could you meet Christ today?